Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Well into winter. Fortunately, we're in LA, and so we don't have to suffer in the cold. However, we do have to suffer in the toxic swamp coming off the Long Beach port, the oil fields, just the general pollution of a very, very crowded, car-dependent city. And what does this mean? It means the title of the show. Toxic estrogens, the growing threat of toxic estrogens, and what you're supposed to do about it. The education you're going to get today is for men and women. And we think, of course, of women as estrogen and men as testosterone. Unfortunately, gentlemen, our testosterone is unfortunately, due to chemicals, converting to way too much estrogen. And this is creating all sorts of unseen problems. I've got solutions for you. The literature is abound in solutions. The issue, of course, is the general public's not aware of it, at least not aware of the depth of the issue. It's the depth of the issue that, on behalf of the show today, I wanted to extend to you, the depth of the issue. So let me be radical. I'm never radical, of course. Let me just be radical for you today. I'm going to tell you something from my vantage point as a clinician. That means somebody that sees a lot of people who have a lot of health concerns, as I have over the last 20 years or so. Let me make a statement, and that is, if you're living in places like Long Beach, like El Segundo, like Torrance, like Redondo Beach, like Huntington Beach, if you look at the statistics, I guarantee you, you're going to see things that are alarming. If you're a clinician and you know how to spot the little stuff, the stuff that doesn't actually make it into the news articles or into the science journals, well, you're all going to know what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about is the rates of estrogen dominant issues are much higher. That means cancer. It means hot flashes. Let's carve it down to reality. If you're living in El Segundo and you just had that fateful event where you found out that lump in the breast is a malignancy, think about El Segundo. Now, of course, this is not a politically correct statement to make because it's frightening, because it means you may have to move. It means you have to relocate. It could mean you have to change your jobs. But I'm sorry, I've got to get to the pulpit and say it. There are just far too many people dealing with serious, serious life-threatening diseases, cancer included, that are linked to the garbage coming out of the ports, the Long Beach port, the oil industries, the car exhausts. The number of people I've met across the years living within a block, sometimes 25 feet of the 405 freeway, and sitting there spending hundreds of dollars a year on herbs to help themselves, to better themselves. Money spent pharmaceutically and otherwise in alternative medicine also on behalf of concerns understandable to their health. And they're living next to a freeway. And you sit there and you go, Charlie, you're living next to a freeway. You're wasting your money on this herb. You're wasting your money allopathically, holistically, or otherwise. You've got to move. And they look at you blank. I mean, this is why I'm doing the show today. When you really study this whole issue of toxic estrogen, and we're going to define it. We've got to do a little bit of science. Actually, we've got to do a lot of science today. We've got solutions for you, but you've got to get a grip with the understanding. Otherwise, you're going to reduce this show. You're going to reduce this very important topic to what herb do I take so I can bind up my xenoestrogens and get them out of my body. Please don't do that. I've trained now over 5 years to say this to you humbly. Don't take the herbal sucker punch. use the herbs as opposed to pharmaceutical drugs, but use them intelligently because you understand the mechanisms that you're trying to alter or amend. In other words, you've got to understand why and what the herbs do. And I don't mean those one-sentence cliff note cheat sheets. I mean really the physiological mechanisms that produce hot flashes. You down there in El Segundo with hot flashes. You there in Redondo Beach with fibroids. You there with lumps in the breast from Huntington Beach. Gentlemen having erectile issues. Gentlemen noticing that the muscles just don't get hard anymore. I'm talking to all of you. And I'm talking to all of us. We have an issue we're not looking at. So let's get to the understanding of estrogen. As always, the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. That's with two T's, Straight Talk. Get to the website so you can follow with the pictures. Picture number one. Testicles do not produce estrogen. Ovaries do. So this, we start with the females. Three types of estrogen, didn't you know? Type number one, number two, and number three. Type number one is called estrone. Okay, estrone. You see it there in the lower right. Picture number one on the show. What is this show? 245. Wow. What an encyclopedia we have here, if you really take it in. Estrone, often known as the better of the two estrogens. So we have to qualify that statement. Estrogen number two, estradiol. This is the estrogen, if it's in balance, that really gives the woman the power. The woman with ample breasts. The woman that has hips that can bear children. The woman that has thick, lush hair. The woman that has all the secretions she needs. The ideal female fertile icon is going to be born with lots of estradiol. The same way Jack LaLanne, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Muhammad Ali, I mean athletes, people with outstanding physiques who win the championships because they're physically superior in their form. Athletes, successful athletes, Michael Jordan, those guys have ample amounts of testosterone. Testosterone makes you jump higher and punch harder. Well, the female equivalent is estradiol. Wonderful. Then why is estradiol and estrogen such a threat? Well, we're going to qualify the statement, and you can't make a one-sentence statement to understand what I'm saying. Three types of estrogen. The estrogen powerhouse, the estradiol. The estriol. What does estriol represent? Estriol represents the less harmful, the weaker acting, the least potent form of our estrogen. So your ovaries are producing these things. Wonderful. So let's talk about estrogen production. There, if you go to picture number two, you're going to see the chemical formula. Don't sweat this stuff out. Just get friendly with it. Estradiol, that's what we call E2. Estriol, that's E3. So we give it short names. So we talk in code. And you have to learn the codes. E1 is estrone. E2 is estradiol. And E3 is estriol. E1, E2, E3. Let's go to picture number three. Now, there's a chart simply saying that there's a process here whereupon the estradiol, that's the powered estrogen, goes to the cell membrane. It binds to a receptor site. That's not on this chart. I'm not just repeating charts. I'm using charts to facilitate the things I'm saying. So, the ovary, think of that pubescent female. It's 16, 17, hormones raging, problems in school, problems at home, Mom and dad just can't talk to her. Periods from hell. Clots. Bleeding. Cysts in the ovary. Endometriosis. Think of that young lady. Living next to the Torrance oil refinery. Hawthorne. Inglewood. No connection being made whatsoever. And she's on the birth control pill. One of the most toxic forms of estrogen ever known. The birth control pill. How many women are still doing it avidly? Lest they put down the pill and then put in the copper IUD and create another terrible problem. So let's start with that stereotypical teenage female with raging hormones. Or that woman in her 20s, married, looking to have a child. And in every third week, she miscarriages. And she's done this one or two times. But if we go back to that woman in love with her husband, ready to birth children, if we take her history back a decade, often she's the one that had the periods from hell. So this estradiol is going to be produced in the ovary. It's going to go to your cells. It's going to go inside the membranes through receptors, and we're going to talk about that later. It's going to go inside the cell. It's going to go in through the nucleus to the DNA, and it's going to trigger DNA response, meaning the DNA is simply off the cue of estradiol, going to start making things. Yeah, it's going to make your skin thicker and smoother and tighter. It's going to make your muscles bigger. It's going to allow you to run faster, jump higher. It's going to do a lot of wonderful things. Lubricate the vagina during intercourse. It's going to do a lot of wonderful, very, very important things. Now, at some point, the metabolites of that estrogen, meaning what the cell spits out after it uses the estrogen, the body just doesn't say, oh, that's the excess estrogen now, or the estrogen we don't need because we've used it and we're going to just get rid of it. The body starts recycling it. And what you're looking at on this chart is what they call the bad estrogen, especially the 16-alpha-hydroxyestradiol. This is called a bad estrogen, as opposed to up on the top there, the good estrogen. Now, bad estrogen, good estrogen, what in God's plan could possibly allow for bad estrogen and good estrogen to be produced in the natural mechanism of things? Well, if your body's functioning correctly, that 16-hydroxyestradiol will go on over to the liver. And the liver, in a two-phase process, what we call phase one and phase two, I'll show you that a little later, the liver, if it's working properly. Now, again, if the liver's working properly, if it's working properly. Well, I know my liver's working properly because I do my physicals each year at Kaiser Permanente, and they didn't say anything about my liver. My liver enzymes are normal. See, this is where you've got to dig deeper. You've got to understand the difference between what your medical doctors are concerned with and what you're concerned with. You've got to understand that A-plus physical and clinical exams once or twice a year at your local health provider assures you that you're probably not at the doorstep of an imminent disease on your way to ER, although that's not true often enough. But for the most part, they're looking for stuff that's going to hurt you and take you to the hospital within a year or two. They're looking for gross markers. We're talking about the subtle markers. We're talking about the things that go on inside the cell long before you ever get sick. And we have ways of empirically deciding whether you're in that category for concern. Empirically deciding. Empirically. Do you understand what that means? I've used it before. The term empirically means some of these statements, many of them that you'll hear today, do not have double-blind placebo studies scouring the journal.